I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak to Mayor Jackie Casillas for our Mayor's Movie Moments segment. She'll share her five favorite movies and something interesting about the city of Corona. Also on the show, I'll speak with Professor Melinda Fogel, theater arts professor at San Bernardino Valley College. Melinda shares how she became interested in theater and talks about San Bernardino Valley College's upcoming performance of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Then I'll have a conversation with Sage Azara, a theater student at SBVC who has been cast in the lead role of Willy Wonka. But first up, it's my conversation with Mayor Jackie Casillas for our Mayor's Movie Moments segment.
My name's Forrest Gump.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Hey, this is not a test.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
He's looking at you, kid.
My guest is the mayor of Corona, Jackie Casillas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
We're going to talk movies, and you were given the task of picking your top five movies, which isn't an easy task. I couldn't do it. I tell listeners that all the time, but I ask it of mayors. And I'm going to go in no particular order. We're going to talk about your first choice, or one of the choices you have on here, is Pride and Prejudice. Is this the 2005 with Keira Knightley?
Especially that one.
Okay.
Yes,
but tell me why this is on your list.
Well, I was going to say it's my favorite novel, but that movie in particular, the 2005 film with Keira Knightley, the soundtrack is beautiful. I'm a big Keira Knightley fan, and the story itself is always moved me. It's one of the only books that I have read multiple times. You know, a lot of folks think it's a love story with the protagonist and Mr. Darcy, with Elizabeth and Mr. Darcy, but it's really a story about sisters and their love and a story about a family. And so I go to it every time. It's my feel-good movie. It's the movie I watch with my sister and my mom. It holds a very special place. I even walk down the aisle to the song that plays, the musical rendition that plays over the clips in the 2005 version. It's a beautiful movie.
Wow. I love hearing that, the reason why it's your favorite. And it is your go-to movie, your go-to book. It's your go-to thing.
Yes.
Very good.
It's my go-to.
All right.
I recommend it.
It's very different than the next one that I'm going to talk about, and that is The Sandlot, which is a 1993 movie. It's about young boys, baseball, a Babe Ruth ball. Why is this on your top five?
Yeah, well, The Sandlot, for me, is very nostalgic. I grew up, this is one of my family's favorites, and it's just such a feel-good movie. But there is a thread here. The music and the soundtrack is also amazing, especially that scene where the boys are going to go play baseball at night on the 4th of July, the one night a year where they can play at night because the sky is lit up by fireworks, and it's America the Beautiful playing in the background.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. Who more than self, our country loved.
Beautiful rendition, and the music in this movie is amazing, but the story itself is just fun. It's a fun, family, wholesome film, and it brings me back to my childhood watching it with my family, and it's one of my favorites.
Well, it is definitely a fun movie, and I'm sure many of us may have seen it when we were younger, but it's still a good one to go back and revisit for sure. Okay. Now, it's very different than the next one I'm about to talk about, and that is the Hunger Games series. This is a 2008, 2009, 2010 with Jennifer Lawrence and Woody Harrelson were stars in it. Why is Hunger Games on your list?
I have an eclectic taste, if you haven't noticed.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Well, the Hunger Games in particular, and there is, you know, at its core, a story about love and family and sisters. You know, Katniss volunteers in her sister's place to participate in the Hunger Games and does so because she just can't fathom a world where her sister doesn't exist. And the series itself is just so compelling of a narrative of like what humans are willing to do for one another. And in moments of unbalanced power between the masses and its government, what, you know, real courage looks like. And it's so, I just think it's really a beautiful story. It's really well written. The movie is very engaging. And at the core of it, I really admire the relationship and the sacrifices that everyone takes on for this collective movement.
Wow. Yeah, I saw the first one and I couldn't go see the second and third one because I didn't like the idea. Maybe the bottom line, you probably went a lot deeper, and I'm thinking, you know, very surface, like they're killing children. I can't deal with this. Yeah. And I couldn't get beyond that.
It's a very disturbing thought. But I read the series and then I watched the films, and I thought the adaptation was really, you know, true to the stories, to the sentiment. And again, it is one of those stories. It goes into the extreme, right? It gets you to a place where you can say, I can't even get past that thought. But it gets you to the place where you're like, wow, this is true. We are willing to do quite a bit for one another when it gets down to it.
Well, I like how you described it and how you broke it down for us, because my point of view of it is so different than yours. And obviously, more would probably concur with you since it was so extremely popular and well received. All right, well, let's move on to one that I have never heard of, and I need to go check it out. But it's Always Be My Maybe. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this.
This is a new one. It's a new one, and it's on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's a romantic comedy.
Well, you got me there, so I love those.
I love romantic comedies, and this is a solid one, but without all those gender stereotypes. And it's got some really great jokes, and there's this cameo by Keanu Reeves that is just, it is hilarious. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it, and it's, you know, it's got Ali Wong, the comedian, who I think she wrote it or co-wrote it. And it's a funny story. They have good chemistry. You know, Randall Park and Ali Wong have really good chemistry in the film. And the soundtrack is also great. So as you can tell, I'm really moved by film soundtracks.
Yeah.
And Mariah Carey's song is like the intro, and the Her Always Be My Baby song plays a big role in the film as well. So I recommend it. I think you'll like it, and you'll find it on Netflix.
Well, I like Netflix movies and I like romantic comedy, so I will check it out. All right, here's your fifth one. Very different from some of your other choices.
Uh-huh.
You're right. You do have a very eclectic type of movies that you enjoy. So I think that's really interesting. It says something about you. But the next one is Interstellar. It stars Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, and Jessica Chastain. Tell me why this is on your list.
So the first time I watched it, I was slightly intimidated by it because it's science heavy and you can get lost in, you know, the technicalities of it all and the, what does this actually mean, and space time. And but at the core of it, it's a love story, and it truly is about how love can transcend both time and space. In the film, it literally does that. And it is the reason why, you know, the characters are able to get to where they get to at the end of the film. It's just a beautiful story about a relationship between a dad and his daughter and how far they are willing to go for one another. It's also quite interesting to contemplate a future possibility where humans may live one day in a fourth dimension. And so I can get a little nerdy about it. But at the core, it's just, I love the love story. I like the relationship between the father and his children, especially his daughter, and how that is the link between space and time.
So a lot of yours have relationships and family. And do you have a sister as well?
I do. Yeah. And I, the first time I read The Hunger Games, I was like, I would do the same thing.
Aw, how sweet. Well, let me reintroduce our guest is the mayor of Corona, Jackie Casillas. She has just shared her top five favorite movies with us. And now I'm going to ask you something about the city of Corona, something interesting, unique, fun, whatever might be going on or that you would like the community to know about the city of Corona.
Well, one of my favorite facts about Corona that you can engage with right now is that Corona is kind of this city of trails. A lot of people don't know that we share 13 miles with the Cleveland National Forest, 13 border miles with the Cleveland National Forest. And some folks have heard of it, but we have a trail access point called Skyline Trails, and there are a lot of trails from there. And you know, on weekends or on a nice cool day, hiking in the trails right at the border of Corona is one of the greatest features that we have to offer our community and our neighboring cities. So I'm hoping that all the folks hearing this will take a weekend or a morning or an evening to go hike. Be safe, of course. Don't go too late. And go hike in the Cleveland National Forest. Come on down to Corona. Check out our trails. It's one of our best features.
Well, that's really interesting. I would have not have known that you have trails there. So thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your city and the trails that are there. And maybe some of our listeners that are hikers or want to be outdoors will check them out. Thank you so much for your time. It's great speaking with you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
To learn more about Mayor Jackie Casillas and the city of Corona, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. After a quick break, I'll speak with San Bernardino Valley College theater professor Melinda Fogel. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and we'll be right back. If you're just joining us, my guest now is Melinda Fogel. She is a theater arts professor at San Bernardino Valley College. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Thank you.
So, as the professor of the theater department at San Bernardino Valley College, will you share a little bit about your background and how you landed at SBVC?
Sure. Well, it's been kind of a long and windy path I've taken. I was always involved in theater as a kid, loved the stage, loved to watch plays. So, I studied theater arts in college, and I did a lot of plays. I did some film and TV and decided I wanted to go on and pursue my master's. My master's took me out to LA and it kind of combined with film. I worked for Lightstorm Entertainment with James Cameron, his company.
Wow.
And then I decided to go on and pursue my doctorate and got back into stage. And for my first full-time theater arts position, I was working up in the desert in Ridgecrest and moved on from there to Bakersfield, where I taught speech and communications. And then I came to Valley College. And I feel like Valley College is a little bit like coming home. I love the auditorium. It's beautiful. I love the people there. And they have a lot of talent, but also a lot of heart.
Right. Well, very good. I'm so glad to hear it. I agree with you. The theater at San Bernardino Valley College is absolutely beautiful. Soon the students will perform Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Why did you select this show for your students? And does it closely follow the story we know from the movie?
Well, because of quarantine, we've been performing theater online, which is different. And we've
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when I learned that we were going to perform a play online, that was a puzzle to put together. But we did, and we learned a lot, and we had a lot of fun, but we were all so excited to be able to come back to the theater. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I think, is a great show for everyone. I know for me, it's very nostalgic. And for kids, I just think it's so exciting. And so it's a great family show. So we're hoping as many people as possible come out and have fun with us. It's a fun show. It's very similar to the original movie, but the dramatization is off of Roald Dahl's book. So it's kind of a mix of all. But I would say you're going to see the characters that you expect to see. It's a little bit pared down from the movie, of course, but yeah, lots of the same scenarios.
Okay. Are some of the students performing for the very first time? And how is that for you as a director, working with students that maybe have not performed? Or are all your performers this time students that have done it before, other than online? I mean, because it is so different to perform on stage with an audience rather than on Zoom. So tell me about your students.
We have a great mix. We have a lot of new students. This is their first time, their first year students at the college. And so this is really their first taste of being on a stage in front of people. And then we have some folks who have been in plays in the community and plays at the college before. And so those folks are kind of leading the way for the others, and they're all learning from each other. So I think we're lucky in that way that we have a good mix.
And how is that for you as a director? Because let's face it, sometimes thespians are very hammy and they love to get on stage, but not all thespians or people that love the theater are hammy. And sometimes do you feel you have to pull something out of them, or are all these students ready to perform?
No, that's a great point, because a lot of people who try theater are trying it to break out of their shell. So they're starting out as very introverted. Some people are actually very shy, but they come to my class to kind of break out of their shell and be able to express themselves. And so that is a challenge. But I think the great thing that we have going for us is that the students that have been there for a while, we kind of create a little family. It's like a little family helping each other out. And I think that environment allows people to take risks and to feel supported no matter what. So they feel more comfortable getting out and, you know, trying their character on and seeing how things feel and just really kind of getting over any kind of fear factors. I think the environment does it. But then again, you know, I do work with the actors a lot. And by the time we get to the show, they'll be ready.
And I think that's what a lot of people count on. 3 days before the performance, you're thinking, oh, are we going to pull this together? And then the day of the show, it all comes together and nobody's the wiser, right?
Right. It's magic. It really is. Sometimes you just think, wow, how will this happen? And then the students show up and it's magical. And somehow the characters appear on the stage.
Wonderful. Well, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory will be at the San Bernardino Valley College Auditorium on December 2nd through the 4th at 7 p.m. and December 5th at 2 p.m. And the community is invited. Thank you, Melinda.
Thank you.
My guest now is student actor Sage Azaria, who has been cast as Willy Wonka in the San Bernardino Valley College Theater production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, so how did you find your way to the stage and performing? Did you always want to perform from the time you were a little girl?
Well, yes, although some days, like, I don't know what I wanted as a kid, but just seeing the fascinations of theater, like, I just wanted to know what that felt like. And when I finally had a full performance when I was 9, I couldn't get enough of it.
What did you do when you were 9? What kind of acting did you do? Were you on stage? Was it a school play, or what did you do?
I did minor school plays, like from like a little Nutcracker musical to like a little Gold Miners. But mostly I did a lot of singing. Some of my most actings, I just like to mimic shows I've recently watched.
Now, I do know that here in our community, you've been involved with Junior University and Vela Verde School. What roles did you play, or what did you learn, or what were you studying there?
I was there for 5 years. I skipped 1 year. My first year was Wizard of Oz. I didn't get a specific role. I was part of the chorus. But my second year, Snow White, I became the queen, and I had a solo.
Nice.
Along the ways, like, I did get some minor roles, like in Sleeping Beauty my 4th year. I was a little Krog named Agnel. The fun part of that character was I got to hit the prince with a mallet.
Okay, very good.
I even got an award for it. like Crustiest Krog, as they labeled it.
Was that at Vela Verde?
No, Vela Verde is like another dance school. It was okay. I did a production of The Little Mermaid, and I was also part of the chorus in that one.
And then, so the other ones you were talking about, was that at Junior University?
Yes.
Okay. This isn't the first time, but you are a female and you're playing a male role. And this isn't your first time that you've played a male role. Tell me about a couple of the other roles where you've played a male role.
Well, just like in The Little Mermaid, I played a sailor because I had a pixie cut at the time. Plus, the dance was pretty easy and they needed more dancers. And some Shakespeare shows I did in middle school, like I was cast as like either minor swordsmen or guards. And I played the priest in Twelfth Night, a small role, but it was fun.
And what about, I think I read about It's a Wonderful Life. You played Clarence?
Yes. This will be a shocker. Like, even though everybody knows that story, and I did own the DVD yet, and I heard references, yet I never fully got a chance to actually read that story. But after reading through the script and looking at Clarence's character, it reminded me of the genie from Aladdin, like how Robin Williams went all animated.
Yeah.
I just thought, hey, like, maybe if I ask my teacher if I can try out for this role and see what happens. And wow, I was the angel.
And you don't mind playing a male role? Tell me what your thoughts on that.
It's actually pretty fun. Like, I mean, I've always been comfortable in jeans.
Okay. So now, what are you excited about with this character in this production? What is your role in this production? You're playing?
I'm Willy Wonka.
Okay.
Oh, this has been a dream role of mine. I love this story with all my heart. Like, ever since I was a little girl, watching Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, singing the songs, and sometimes imagining I was a blueberry every time I chewed gum. And sadly, my brother used to compare me to Veruca because I was the spoiled one. And, you know, like, years later when the Tim Burton film came up, I couldn't love the story even more.
Tell me a little bit about the story.
Oh, well, the story's about, like, a little boy named Charlie. He's very poor, but he's always loved Wonka candies. Mm. And they're, like, the biggest thing in this story, like Nestle's or Hershey's or something like that. But they're very expensive, too. So, like, Willy Wonka, who's the chocolatier of this story, he sends out 5 hidden golden tickets in many Wonka bars all over the world. The first ticket was found by a very heavy boy named Augustus. Second is found by a little girl named Veruca, who's like a real spoiled brat. Third is a athletic girl named Violet, who loves to chew gum. And fourth is a boy named Mike TV, who just can't seem to get off the television set. But then Charlie, almost losing hope, he ends up finding the 5th golden ticket. All 5 of them end up going to the Chocolate Factory, and Willy Wonka's like this real colorful character, like all in purples and reds, and he has a walking stick and a top hat. But once you take that first step into his factory, it's like, what?
Imagination?
Yeah, like, where am I? Pure imagination, as they call it. And let's say, like, one by one, each room they go in, all the first 4 kids start to disappear. Let's just say, like, their weaknesses get the better of them.
Oh. Now, is this the movie that you're describing, or is this what the production is going to be as well?
Well, this is exactly like how the storyline is, although our version's a lot different than how the movies are portrayed.
Okay. Now, is it a musical that you're this production, or tell me about the production itself?
Well, sadly, it's not the musical version. For those who have seen the movies or read the book, they may expect half of what they've seen in the movies, but those who have not seen them, they'll get a big surprise of what our version of this story goes.
Very good. And do you like your version? Are you happy with your version and how it's coming? Are you going through the staging of it right now, or where are you in the rehearsal process?
So far, we've gotten our blockings and our lines down, and our set pieces are coming along nicely.
And do you have a lot of lines?
Oh, yes. I am literally the one with monologues of lines, like always having describing everything about the factories and a lot of doohickeys that with languages that don't even make sense.
And how are you at learning the lines? Have you got it all nailed? Are you still learning them? How is that process for you?
I'll admit I struggle, but There's nothing I can't handle.
Oh, very good. I was a theater major as well when I was in college, and the hardest part for me was remembering the lines. And I don't know how actors do it, and they do, of course, but it seems to me, you know, when you do it on television, you can stop and start and stop and start. When you're on the stage and the curtains go up, you're there. Have you ever forgotten your lines?
Some days I did, but I would even add lines that would sound a little similar to lines that I forgot. But there's this old trick that I do, like, since I can remember, like, maybe an episode of SpongeBob when I watch it a lot, I decided to record my lines by reading them back to me, so that way I can memorize them whenever, like, we do, like, off-script rehearsals.
Oh, very good. What other roles, looking forward, would you like to play in your career? What would you like to do? Where do you see yourself in maybe 5 years?
Oh, there's a lot of things that I can picture myself in, like rather Broadway or even films. For my dream role on Broadway has always been Christine Daae from The Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
And recently I also would really like to play SpongeBob SquarePants in the SpongeBob SquarePants musical. I always like action movies or even thrillers. I especially love love stories.
So your dream is to continue to perform?
Oh, yes.
And like to make it your career?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I like learning about your technique. I look forward to seeing the production. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
To learn more about San Bernardino Valley College's Theater Arts Program and their upcoming performance of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, December 2nd through the 4th at 7 p.m. and December 5th at 2 p.m., visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also listen to Lifestyles on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez on your streaming service and take the show on the go. Lifestyles is on Facebook. Search for us online at 919-LIFESTYLES and give us a like. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Wadd, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, Natasha Coles, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.